Welcome back to the High Functioning Disaster, the show where we stop pretending life is neat and talk about what it's really like to juggle the chaos. I'm your host, Sasha Holder. Today, we're launching into my conversation with Zulma Williams, a licensed clinical social worker, breast cancer survivor, and unapologetically real human you might know online as the swearing therapist. Zulma doesn't sugarcoat anything. And that's exactly what makes this conversation so powerful. She shares how she turned pain into purpose, from moving to the U.S. at 31 to starting college at 42 and her master's at 50, and how surviving cancer, depression, and abusive relationships taught her to stop asking, "Why me?" and start saying, "Why not me?" We're talking about resilience, late in life reinvention, and why discipline will always outlast motivation. And yes, there's swearing, there's laughter, and there's a whole lot of truth. So let's get into it. Welcome to the High Functioning Disaster, Zulma. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here with you.
Oh, I'm so excited you're here. I just love your energy. So you call yourself the swearing therapist. Before we dive in, tell me how you came to have that name. Like, how did you come up with it?
Yes. So I am Zulma Williams, a licensed clinical social worker who likes to keep it real and swears a lot. So I came up with a swearing therapist because I do swear a lot in my personal life and in my professional life. If you reach out to me, you want to be a client, I do a 15-minute consultation. And in those 15 minutes, shit, fuck, and bitch is going to come out of my mouth. So if you have a problem with that, I'm not the therapist for you, right? Like, so I give you referrals. I still fucking sleep at night, you know, like no problem there. But I work so hard for my license and I'm so passionate about what I do. I'm not going to sit there and be like, oh, fudge. I'm going to say fuck. Right? Like, so, and that's how this swearing therapist was born. Actually, I was going to call myself the cussing therapist, cussing as in swearing, but because of my accent, they were like, cussing, like, you know, like your uncle's son. And I'm like, no, motherfucker. Cussing, and it's like, fuck you. Can you hear me now? And then I'm like, okay, it's too complicated with my accent. So we're going to go with a swearing therapist. And today is the 1 year anniversary of the swearing therapist. I recorded my first Instagram video a year ago today. So welcome to my party. I'm Woo-hoo! So happy to celebrate with you. Yes.
That's amazing. I love that. I love how authentic you are and that you bring that into your therapy sessions.
Yes. So life is too short.
Yes, absolutely. So, it is.
We don't have time to be beating around the bush or like, like, no, it's like, do you want to get better? We're going to hit the ground running. And I understand I'm not everybody's cup of tea, and that's fine. But like when you reach out to me, I made it very clear that are you ready to get better? I cannot want this more than you do. Like, so it's like, oh no, because I see your potential. Like, no, do you want to get better? And then it's a lot of work. It is hard work. It doesn't have to be like, we have a lot of fun in my therapy sessions. But it's a lot of work.
I can imagine.
Right? Like, so, it's like, you know, sometimes I tell clients, like, this bitch doesn't get me. And then they're like, I wouldn't call you bitch. I'm like, no, I'm not saying you're calling me bitch. I'm calling myself bitch. Like, don't fucking worry about it. But so I use a lot of humor and a lot of cussing, but we are going to hit the ground running. And if you're not ready, it's going to become very evident within a month. Because I give my clients a lot of homework. So if you come next week and you didn't do the homework, guess what the fucking homework is going to be? The same shit that I gave you last week because you didn't do it. So how do we know if it works for you if you don't do it? Now, if you did it and you're like, yeah, this doesn't resonate with me. Perfect. We are going to do something else. But if you don't try it, you are the one with the fucking anxiety, not me. So like if, you know, well, I have anxiety. I cannot sleep. Do you watch the news right before bed? Yes. Okay. So stop watching the news at 5 p.m. To me, it's common sense. But, you know, like until somebody tells you. But if you don't do that and then you didn't sleep all week, okay, let's try it. So you watch the news at 5 and that's it for the rest of the evening. And maybe your brain can shut off a little bit. Okay. But if you don't try it, how do we know if it works for you or not?
Exactly. Exactly. So you're a self-described warrior, and I can hear that warrior coming out of you right now. What does that mean to you today compared to earlier in your journey?
To not giving up, to keep going. I moved to this country 29 years ago, and in December I'm relocating to Panama because I want to live on the beach and I cannot do it here. I cannot afford to live here, to live on the beach in the United States, so I'm going to Panama. So it's like, to me, it's like not settling. Like, it's like, no, if I live in the desert and I want to live by the ocean. So how can I cannot do it here. Like, Hawaii is so expensive. California is so expensive. And I'm fucking going to the East Coast with the hurricanes. Like, no. So how can I do it? And so being a warrior to me is that I want to continue to make my soul happy. So what I need to be aware of where I'm at with that. My soul, my body, my life, right? If I don't make myself happy, who will? So it's like to continue to move forward with whatever it is that makes me happy at this time.
That's really good. And I think it's important that we make ourselves happy, do the things that bring us joy, because, you know, like you've said in our previous conversations, life is short. Mm-hmm. You only have a finite amount of time and nobody knows exactly how long that is.
Exactly. And nobody has tomorrow guaranteed. So yes. Like, you know, oh, I'll do it. You know, it's like next year or you don't even know if you're going to wake up tomorrow. And this is not to be pessimistic. Is more from the lens of, because you don't know if you're going to wake up tomorrow, you need to live life today to the max. Because you don't know, like, tell the people who you love, I love you, because you don't know if you're going to be able to say it tomorrow, right? Like, so it's like, oh, I had this conversation pending. Have the fucking conversation. What are you waiting for, right? Like, so when I first came to the United States 29 years ago, I was 31, and I've been toying with the idea of coming to America. I'm originally from Argentina. And I was 31. I was living with my mom. I didn't have a job at that time for 2 years. And I had been toying with the idea of coming to America for a long time. And then I had a cousin who, my uncle's son, not the swearing, the cousin, who was 32. I think like we were like 11 months apart or whatever. And he had a stroke and died unexpectedly. And it was like, oh, hell no. 3 months later, I moved to the States, right? Like that was a wake up call that I needed because I'm 31. I'm like, oh, okay, bitch, do it. And I did it. I remember, I mean, like his passing was so unexpected and he was healthy. Like, and I remember going to my therapist and I said, my therapist knew my cousin because my cousin was a therapist also. So he was, my therapist was, you know, shaken by the news. And I said, oh, that's my cousin, actually. And he was like, oh, my God. And I'm like, yeah. And because of that, I decided, because I've been telling my therapist I want to go to America, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I'm leaving in December. And he said, congratulations. Because he was waiting for me to make the decision, basically, right? Like, and that was what, you know, woke me up. And I keep that in my heart because it's like, I work with anxiety, depression, and trauma. And anxiety is about trying to control the future, which is impossible because the future is not even here. So, and I, that's what I tell my clients, like, oh, I'm, you know, I'm not sleeping because of the meeting I have next week. You might fucking die tonight. You're not going to make it to the meeting. Like, don't worry about it. Right. Well, if you put it that way, but really, like, come back to the present moment because this right now is the only thing we have.
That is so true. That is so true. And you're a breast cancer survivor.
Yes.
How did that diagnosis reshape your perspective on life and healing?
Oh, yes. So I was 42. I was working in accounting in a big corporation and I was reflecting about my future. And I always had this passion for helping people. And I was like, oh, I want to be a therapist. So what do I need to do? I need to go to school. So I started my bachelor's of social work at 42. I graduated at 46. And 6 weeks after graduation, I got diagnosed with breast cancer. So I was on track to do my master's and be independently licensed and all those things. Like, life is what happens when you have other plans, right? Like, so I took care of my health. I actually moved back to Argentina to be close to my family. But it changed my entire perspective to put myself first. So I'm a recovered people pleaser, believe it or not. Hard to believe with my personality, but I was like, oh, whatever everybody else needs. And that actually changed my priorities. And I do believe in God and I pray a lot, but I also did my part, right? Like, it's like, oh, well, I went to the doctor and I did the treatment and I had my surgery and right, like, so I never miss a doctor's appointment. So while I'm praying, I'm actually doing my part. And I'm taking the medicine and I'm doing the testing and all those things. Healing became such a priority because now my life is on the line, right? And I had to truly take care of what was in front of me at that time, which was a diagnosis. But I always say, I had cancer. Cancer didn't have me. Because I came, like, 3 years later, after 3 years of being in Argentina, I was like, oh, that's, I remember now why the fuck I left when I was 31, right? Like, so I came back to the States and I started my master's at 50. I graduated at 51. And it's like cancer didn't stop me. If anything, it came to show me how bad I wanted to be a therapist. Because nobody would have blamed me if I went back to accounting or I just stayed with my bachelor of social work, right? Like, well, you know, I'm feeling better. Like, I'm fucking going back to school. So I wanted to be independently licensed by age 50. And instead, I started my master's at age 50. I became independently licensed at 53 and a half. Who the fuck cares? Who's keeping, you know, who's keeping tabs? Like, fucking do
it.
You
still did it. Like, you still did it.
Right. So So that's why I say cancer didn't help me, because it didn't stop me. It only delayed me. And I think that my experience with cancer, which was very traumatic, helps me connect with my clients better. Because so we are grilled in school that we don't supposed to share our personal stories. I'm like, no, I have that in my fucking website. And I'm very vocal about my cancer. Because then when you come to see me, you know that, I mean, we all been to traumatic events, but it's like, yeah, I'm not reading on the fucking textbook about trauma. Like, you know, so I think that we can connect from a different perspective. And if you are dealing with a cancer diagnosis, even if it's not breast cancer, it's like, yeah, when you hear that word, your entire life changes. So I think that it helps me connect with my clients from a different perspective that a person who didn't deal with cancer might not have.
I agree. It's always helpful for me to know that someone else has experienced something similar that I'm going through. Then they really can relate, not just try to imagine themselves in this position.
Right.
So you mentioned that you went back to school at 42 and then you started your master's at 50. Was it just wanting to move ahead and get your goals achieved that gave you the courage, or was there something more?
Yeah, no, that's the goal that I create. So when I started my bachelor's at 42, I'm like, okay, I want to be a therapist. So what do I need to do? Okay, so I need to have, well, I wanted to do social work. So I need a bachelor's, and then you don't need a bachelor of social work, but if you have a bachelor of social work, then you qualify for the advanced master's. That's why I graduated in 1 year. So that's why I did the bachelor of social work. You can have any bachelor you want and then do a master of social work, but it's a minimum of 2 years. So I'm like, okay, so I need to do a bachelor's, and then I need to do a master's, and then I need to do my intern. So I developed the goals, right? The steps to achieve that goal. But at the same time, I continued to work in accounting because I had to pay bills. I had to eat, right? Like, so a lot of times we have this idea that, oh, if I want to build something new, I had to drop everything. No, no, no. My present right now started in 2007 when I took my first 3 credits for my bachelor's, right? So it's like, so then I graduated. And I'm like, okay, I'm applying for the master's, but then the diagnosis came. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to take care of my health. But then it's like, yeah, I wanted to be a therapist so bad that I'm like, oh, okay, I can do my master's now. Right? Like, so, and then going back to school at 50, I was a fucking grandma in the classroom. You know what I mean? Like, because my classmates are in their mid-20s. So, and I remember one time there was 2 girls in front of me. One was 23 and one was 27. And they said, you bitches, it takes the 2 of you to make my age. Like, I'm so fucking depressed. You know, and we were all laughing because it was true. Like, one is 23, one is 27. What the fuck is wrong with this picture? But then I thought, I believe in my heart that being an older student and being an older intern helps me connect with people, with adults, a lot better because, you know, like, you're like, oh, okay. Like, I don't have children, but when I was an intern, there were other interns who, you know, we are talking about parenting tips or whatever to the clients. And she got asked all the time, do you have children? Because she was like 25, I think, but she looks 13. So that didn't fucking help her. I was 51 and I fucking look 51. So the client assumed that I have children. Nobody fucking asked me. Like when I'm giving you suggestions about like how you, you know, deal with your kid, nobody's like, do you have children? Like, motherfucker, I don't have to have children to explain this. But they assume I have children. But it's your assumption. Like, I never lie. Like, if you ask me, I tell you, no, I don't have children, right? Like, so it actually was a great asset to my profession that I, in my experience in going to school at a later age, is like my professors love to have an older student because they knew I was there because I really wanted to.
Right. That's so true. I too am an older graduate. So not as old as you were, but definitely in my 30s when I finished both my bachelor and my master's degrees. But it is quite different when you're older because you do want to be there. And you're not there because you think that's what your parents want or that's what you should do. You have some life experience under your belt. And in my case, I did go to college right out of high school. I didn't do well. I didn't know what I wanted to do with myself. And when I went back, I had spent time learning, like, what do I really want to do? But then I also had that life experience of, oh my gosh, I live on my own. I barely have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out. I need to make a better income and
a better
future. How can I do that?
Right.
Yes. Right. Yes. So it is different. It is so different. And so I appreciate that perspective that you just brought. Now you've survived cancer. You've also survived abusive relationships and depression. And you said that you've never seen yourself as a victim. How do you hold on to that mindset? You know, a lot of times, like when life throws you punches, sometimes people can get down. What kept you from seeing yourself as a victim?
So when I'm going to use the cancer diagnosis as an example, because it was kind of like so in my face. So when I got the cancer diagnosis, my first reaction was, why me? Right. And then I started thinking, well, I don't have children, but I had my mom. She was alive at that time. So I had my mom. I have a sister. I have nieces. I have girlfriends. So I started thinking, if it was not me, would I have preferred that it was one of them? And the answer is no. So then I changed my question from why me to why not me? And that changes the mindset from a victim mentality to an empowered mentality, because now, if it's why not me, then what? Now I have a decision to make. I can sit in the corner and wait to die, or I can stand up and fight. Right? So,
yes.
Spoiler alert, here I am. Like, I chose a ladder, right? So, but once you move away from the victim mentality, then you have a choice. While if you stay in the why me, even if, so let's say that somebody is, in the case of the abusive relationship, right? Like, why me? Why is he abusing me? And I change the question. So even if you know the answer to the why me, it doesn't help you. It doesn't help you to feel better. So instead, if we change the question from why me to what am I learning from this, then the situation, the event is not wasted. Because even in my abusive relationship, once I change to what am I learning from this, why do I attract men who are narcissists, right? Now I can make something about that. because we cannot fucking, we have no control over anything but ourselves. So now I'm like, oh, I'm attracting men that I'm not liking to be in a relationship with. Okay, like what am I learning? That I'm either sending signals, the wrong signals, or to the wrong people, or to, I ignore the red flags until they became a fucking red banner, right? Like, so it's like, oh, okay, so you start, if you can find the lesson in any event that you are asking why this happened, then you move away from the victim mentality because now you are learning something. I always say we are either happy or we are learning something. So what is it that you are learning from this challenge that you are currently facing? So once, but that thing about why not me helped me a lot because I wouldn't want my mom to have breast cancer. And when we are asking why me, the entitlement of like, I'm fucking special, why me? Versus like if you have a child or you have your mom or you have a brother or whomever you love and you're like, yeah, not me, but you can give it to my mom. Excuse you? Like, I would feel like shit, right? Like if that happens. So that helped me a lot because now moving away from the victim mentality, then I can do shit. I'm empowered to make decisions. But when I'm a victim to the circumstances. So the circumstances control me, not me.
Yes, that makes sense. And it's really, I think, a mind-blowing perspective to have, like, instead of why me, which I think is natural mm-hmm. in a lot of cases, at least, to then go, why not me? Who does that? Well, you did. And I can see how that would be. I can see how that would be. Exactly. I can see how that can be empowering because it's totally a perspective shift, right? Like,
yes.
Oh, well, why not me? And then to your point of would I want my sister or my mother or someone else that I care about to be in this situation? Would I want them to have cancer? No. Okay, so it's on me. I'll do it. Then it's, you know, it's your, I guess, cross the carrot for lack of better words.
Right. I mean, you can do it. Or, I mean, you can fight it or you don't. But it's your decision now, right?
Yes.
So. It's like
exactly.
Instead of the situation or the challenge dominating you, you are like, okay, well, it's about acceptance, right? Like what we resist persists. So it's like, okay, well, I can close my eyes and say, I don't have cancer, fuck it, I'm healthy, whatever. But then when I open my eyes, I still have the lump on my breast and I still have to make decisions about my future. Right. So it's like, yep. Okay, you can, denial is a powerful thing, but eventually the fucking reality is going to slap you in the face. So it's like the sooner that you get to accept the reality, the sooner that you can make better decisions for yourself. Right.
Yes. Yes. So for someone listening who feels like life keeps knocking them down, what would you say is the first step toward finding that inner warrior?
To look back at your own life and realize that you've been knocked down many, many times. And yet, all the fucking shit you've been through could not take you out. So why is this challenge different? So you, I know that you have 100% track record of success about overcoming your challenges. How do I know? Because you're here. Whatever shit exactly. You've been through could not take you out. So why is this fucking thing that you are facing right now different than all the other fucking challenges that you overcame? So reminding yourself that at the time that you were going through that shit, you didn't know how you were going to come out of that. And yet, you kept putting one foot in front of the other, and somehow you overcame that. So this shit you're going through is not different than that. So it's like, and again, like, why me? Why did I get knocked out time after time after time? Why not you? Do you want your son to be knocked out time after time after time? Do you want your mom to be knocked out? Right? Like, so it's like, the secret is not in not falling. The secret is in falling seven times and getting up eight. The secret is not remaining on the ground. We all fall. We are all falling. But it's to, I fell down, I get up. And I get up one more time. So if you fall seven times, you get up eight. Right?
Yeah.
So, but don't take my fucking word for it. Look at your own shit. Like, look back at your own challenges in your own life. Because now you forget that at that time, you didn't know how the fuck you were going to overcome that challenge. You were depressed. Mm-hmm. You didn't have energy. You didn't see the light. And somehow you fucking figured it out. So why is this challenge different? Like, sometimes when I get, you know, I'm facing something and I'm like, bitch, you fucking kick ass in the ass. Like, why is this worrying you? Like, you know, and then I'm like, yeah, okay. And then I snap out of it because it's true. Like, why is this fucking thing that I'm facing right now going to be any different than what I overcame in the past?
Yeah, that's very true. I want to shift gears a little bit. So when people hear the words anxiety and depression, they often picture stereotypes. What do those really look like in daily life?
Right. So again, anxiety is in a nutshell, anxiety is about trying to control the future, which is impossible because the future is not even here. And depression is about feeling sorry for a decision that you made in the past, but you cannot change it. So you, again, you look back at that, you learn the lesson hidden in that, and then you make a better decision next time. But there is no need to keep punishing yourself for something that you did 20 years ago when you didn't know better. Why did I blah, blah, blah? Because at the time that you were with the information that you had available at that time, that was the best decision that you could have made. If you have known different, you would have probably make a different decision. But you didn't. We are all geniuses with Monday newspaper, right? But it's like, we are on fucking Sunday. So like, with the information that I have in front of me, this is the best decision that I could have taken. Like, I have clients who have been in car accidents, but they are not at fault. So, and I keep telling them, you were at the wrong place at the wrong time. There is nothing you could have done differently other than don't fucking be there. So stop blaming yourself for being there when you didn't fucking know. Because if you knew you were going to get in an accident, you wouldn't have left the house or you had taken a different route. Right? Like, so there's like, we have like that. Why did I, you know, and it's like considering. So if you knew you were going to have an accident, would you have taken that route? No. Exactly. So with the information that you had at the time, which you didn't know you were going to have an accident, that's why you took that route.
That wraps up part one of my conversation with Zulma Williams. I so appreciate her fire, her humor, and her honesty. She reminds us that we've all survived 100% of our hardest days, and that is one thing I think we all need. If this conversation resonated with you, go follow The Swearing Therapist on Instagram for straight talk tips on anxiety, depression, and healing, and a few well-placed F-bombs for good measure. And make sure you're subscribed to the High Functioning Disaster, because tomorrow we're continuing this conversation with Zulma. And in episode 2, she breaks down what anxiety and depression really look like in everyday life and why stress is often a cover for something deeper and how simple grounding techniques can pull you out of a spiral. It's raw, practical, and seriously empowering. You don't want to miss it. Thanks for listening to The High Functioning Disaster. Life might be messy, but we don't have to clean it up alone. Oh, and one last thing. The content shared on The High Functioning Disaster is for informational and conversational purposes only and is not intended as professional, medical, or mental health advice. Everyone's situation is unique, and what we talk about here may not apply to your specific circumstances. Please do what's right for you and always consult with a qualified professional for medical, mental health, financial, or legal guidance. You take care of you, boo. See you next time.